So, two Christian friends spend their lives together, and they live very good lives, and they also live very healthy lives. They try to eat well and exercise. Well, it just so happens they die on the same day, and they go to heaven. They're walking along, marveling in all the paradise around them, and they think, wow. One says, I never knew heaven was going to be as good as this. Yeah, says the other. And just think, if we hadn't eaten all those oat bran muffins, we'd have gotten here 10 years earlier. It's a little bit of truth into that, I'm afraid. This is the end of our six-week series called Finding Your Story in God's Story. And the first 3 weeks, we talked about the Old Testament. So it's a good thing to have in your brain to kind of get an outline of the Bible if you can get this in your head. So the first act was creation, all understanding that we are made in God's image and that we're wonderfully and perfectly made and God treats us as valuable. The second act we call crisis, which is the fall of mankind. Adam and Eve sinned. And since then, we have this sinful nature about us. We just have a bent towards sinning. We're broken at this point. The rest of the Old Testament is all about God still reaching out to his people. Calls Abraham, calls the rest of the people in the Old Testament. They do wonderful things and God does miracles. But ultimately, humankind cannot hold up their end of the covenant. They cannot prove to be faithful. Which leads us into the New Testament. Last 2 weeks, we talked about most of that. And Act 4 was called Christ. Jesus paid the price. He got our sin. We get his purity. There's kind of an exchange there through the blood of the Christ, of the cross. And God now sees beyond the fall and back to the prized creation we were created to be. And finally, Act 5 last week was the church. The church. Just like the early disciples, we were called to repent, to be baptized, and be part of the church. And for this time in history, we are living in Act 5 right now. And the church is actually the hope of the world. So we have one more act. The curtain's open. This time, you're in the theater, but you're not in the audience this time. You're in the background. You're behind the stage. It's different a little bit. And the people sitting out in the audience are the angels. It's a continuation of the story, but in a sense, it feels like a curtain call. You see Abraham and Sarah come out, take a bow. You see other people, Moses, David, eventually Peter, Paul. Finally, Jesus walks out. And the angels go crazy. There is so much applause, and a cast party follows. They all go out for a party after that. And guess what? You're part of the cast. You played your part in Act 5, the church. Right? And this act never really ends. The curtains never really close because there's just too many stories to share, too many praises to sing, too much happiness to embrace. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, this is week 6 of our 6-week series. A series made up of 6 acts of the Bible. Finding your story in his story. This is to encourage you, to inspire you, to challenge you to read the Word of God and see it as one great story. I always encourage you to check out the sermon applications in the bulletin. Take them home. But we've been saying every week, the goal is not to get through the Bible. The goal is to get the Bible through you. Each week I've been giving you a tool to kind of help the Bible come alive. I'm not going to review all those. If you can make sense of them, they're on the screen. But this week's tool is reading the Bible, knowing that there's a happy ending for God's followers. Read and live with this hope that we have. We believe God is at the finish line, waiting for us, cheering us on, calling us home, waiting to embrace us when that day happens for us. God participated in the story. He created the story. He participates in the story. And he's in the future waiting for us at the end of the story. Okay. Last Monday night, there was a movie trailer that came out. Anybody know what movie that is? Star Wars. For those of you Star Wars, it's certainly created a lot of buzz. A 2-minute trailer created a lot of buzz. And I'm a Star Wars fan, so created a lot of buzz in my house too. Why? Why for just a 2-minute thing? Well, a trailer will accomplish a couple things if it's done well. It will create excitement, and it will give you just enough glimpse that you're going to want to check it out. You're going to want to be curious enough to see the movie. I think that's pretty close to what the Bible gives us when it comes to the end times, when it comes to our eternal home. It doesn't give us it all laid out. It doesn't tell us everything. It doesn't answer all our questions about heaven, hell, the end times. It does give us enough to be mindful, enough to be curious, enough to be excited about that future. And I'll be the first one to admit, the Bible can be difficult to interpret at times. And this part of Scripture is particularly hard. I am not an expert on Revelation, but this is what I know. I know just enough to be a little skeptical of anybody else who thinks they have it all figured out. You know, you have those people that read Revelation and then they got it all figured out. Yeah, okay. For example, I read some of those Left Behind books. They're a great read. I don't think it's a bad thing for you to read. But just remember, that's one interpretation. One interpretation. But I would agree that creation is anticipating the day when all God's children will be free from death and decay. That will be a great day. I do think the Bible gives us a basic timeline of some things happening. In Revelation 20, it does spell out some pretty basic things. And so there are 6 things I want to give you. Number 1, return of Christ. And then the temporary confinement of Satan. Then the resurrection of Christians. Then the resurrection from the dead of those who are not in Christ. Then Satan released. And then judgment of Satan. And then finally a new heaven and new earth. So I'd like to focus a little bit on that new heaven, new earth idea, which leads us into Revelation 21. If you're a Pew Bible person, that's 1,230. Otherwise, it's going to be on the screen. 1230. It's Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. And it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death." Pretty powerful words. Pretty strong words. So my question is thinking about death healthy or unhealthy? Do you think people tend to think about it too much or maybe not enough? Do you know people that are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good? I've known a few of those. Do you know people who so earthly focused that they fail to live with eternal perspective? Probably know a lot of those. As Christians, we need to emphasize both the joy in this life that we have through Christ, but also the hope we have for the next one. Because the truth is, my friends, you are going to die. I think it's good to think about that once in a while. At least your current body will die. And frankly, who knows when it will be? You know, 3 people die every second. 180 every minute, 11,000 every hour. Do you think every one of us will be alive at this point next year? The Psalms teach us that each man's life is but a breath. But the good news is that Jesus said to his followers, I am going to go and prepare a place for you. 1 Corinthians says, we don't even have to fear death. It says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Have you ever been with someone who's just passed away pretty naturally? My mom said this when her mom passed away. She said, heaven just seemed to open up and take her. Heaven is this great news that we have that seems like for most of us fails to really inspire us. I think maybe as we get older, you start thinking more and more about it. When you're younger, it just seems too far away. But we don't usually get inspired. I don't think like we should. Does it seem too far in the future? Maybe we just don't have enough imaginations. We can't imagine it being that great, you know? Maybe Satan's working overtime to make sure we don't think about how great it will be. All I know is we don't seem to know how to use the hope that we have of tomorrow to live with that joy today. The scriptures describe heaven in many ways, including a city, kingdom, a garden. Now, my wife would probably be pretty happy with a garden. She likes to garden. She likes to spend time in the garden. Me, not so much. I like the term eternal rest. Now, that sounds good to me. Rest, body and soul. And we just want to questions, you know, is heaven this physical place or is it all spiritual? And are we just going to be floating around? And we don't totally know the answers to all those questions. But I think my idea of heaven has changed. And I don't know that I know. Certainly I don't. The scriptures don't tell us everything. But I used to think that when I got to heaven, God would kind of like make everything known to me in an instant. Like all my questions about life and why it's this way and what happens, it would all be answered like in an instant, right? It's like, and then at that moment, I'm not sure what happens. I mean, you know, singing praises and, but it's hard to, you know, now I think maybe a little differently. I think maybe we're going to still have lots of adventures, lessons each day that we will learn. Again, days, I don't understand how the time of concept will work, but new discoveries, new relationships, spending time with lots of friends. But with all that crud of sin, jealousy, anger, bitterness, all those things that destroy what life is supposed to be about. Maybe it's still a journey with God as our teacher, Jesus walking with us directly. One area that most people don't seem to understand, or I think there's a lot of evidence for, is that the Bible talks about us living on earth again. We read about this, Revelation 21. A new heaven and a new earth, it says, are made. You might want to reread that passage of scriptures. I don't know exactly what that's like, but wherever God reigns, directly reigns, it's got to be like heaven, whether we're on this planet or another. But maybe we really end up here again. But pre-fall, like more like the Garden of Eden, when God comes down and is with us, heaven and earth will be united. Now, Todd Burpo was a Wesleyan pastor at Crossroads Wesleyan Church in Imperial, Nebraska until recently. In fact, we worked with his wife's parents in the last church we were at. And in fact, we probably could have replaced him when he just recently left his church, but we kind of felt God was leading us to this church. But a lot of you know about his son, Colton. His was 4 years old when his appendix burst and they rushed him to the hospital. He says he went up to heaven for like 3 minutes. His body went up, he looked down, saw mommy and daddy praying for him. The doctors couldn't believe he even lived. Many of you have read his book, Heaven is for Real. Some of you saw the movie, Heaven is for Real. Again, two things I want to say about this. One is, our real hope is in what the Bible says, not in somebody's testimony or story, which we don't always can't validate. But I tend to want to believe it. I tend to believe I know the family. So I think there's at least some truth to it, if not a lot of truth to it. I thought you might be curious to know some of the things that Colton experienced, Colton learned when he was in heaven. Some of them you already know. It says people must have Jesus in their heart to get to heaven. He says John the Baptist has a rainbow horse, and heaven has lots of colors. He says Jesus still has the markers, he called them markers, on his hands and his feet. Jesus gave him homework. Now, kids, listen to this. Teenagers, Jesus gave him homework. Jesus was the teacher, and homework was his favorite part. That's going to have to be in heaven because, man, it's most. Everyone has wings except for Jesus, who kind of went up and down like an elevator. He met his dad's grandpa. His grandpa recognized Colton, even though he had never met him. And Colton knew that his mom had had a child that was lost and never born. And so it was a girl, and Colton met her. And she couldn't wait for mom and dad to meet her too. In God's throne room, Jesus is on the right side, and the angel Gabriel is on the left side. He says it doesn't get dark in heaven. The gates of heaven are made of gold with pearls in them. There are flowers and trees and heaven and lots of animals. Nobody really gets old in heaven. We look like ourselves, but if we're older, it's going to be a younger version. I don't know if you're young, what that means, if you get older or what. But and Jesus shoots down power on his followers. And there are swords in heaven, and they keep out Satan out of heaven. And someday there's going to be a war to destroy this world, and we're going to either get a sword or a bow and arrow. And the last thing he said, hey, God really loves us. He really loves his children. So, as we're finishing up this series, I want you to know that next week, where you know, if you were here last week, you know this. I think you're going to want to be here next week. We're going to try something different. We're going to ask you to come and share your part in the story. We're asking everybody in this room to go home and prepare to share something from the open mic that we're going to have. We're going to have some songs, and we're going to do a couple other things, but for mostly, there's not going to be no sermon. We're going to give you an opportunity to come to the mic and say a sentence or two or up to 5 minutes what's going on, what God's doing in your life, or how your story intersects with God's. But here's the thing. I want you all to come prepared, but nobody, of course, has to share. The idea is that if you decide you want to share, you'll be ready. And even if you don't share, you'll have processed what God is doing in your life. You can stick to the recent sermon series and you can talk about a certain act or a certain part of the sermon, or you could just talk in general about what God's doing in your life or what you're going through. Again, we're going to give you a few minutes to be up here, and then I'll give you a little bit of a grace so that we don't go on forever. But we're going to just ask you to pray about that service. Ask you to try to be, just this church to be led by the Spirit next week. We might get a little early. We might get out a little late. We're just going to see what happens. And we're going to let you be the church in every sense of the way, your story. But for today, you just need to remember this. One day, God's dream for this universe will be fulfilled. This story will end, but it's just the beginning of a newer, greater story. There's going to be a celebration. There's going to be a wedding of God and humankind, and we'll get rid of all this junk and trial, all these difficulties that life faces right now. A new era of love and beauty will begin. The Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's not a return to Eden, but maybe similar in some ways to it. The old becomes new. God has, throughout the Bible, longed to rescue his people. Every step of the way, he's reached out. And one day, it will be complete.